you would never suspect that there are lethal, wicked, unseen forces at work that need to be dealt with seriously, would you? If you just took it by the way that it's that Christianity is presented in these pseudo-churches, that's why we have to go through Scripture verse by verse. This is so important.
What is the nature of the spiritual warfare described in Ephesians 6? Where are the battles fought? In some distant realm or up close? Pastor Don Green will address those questions today on the Truth Pulpit. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. And as we move further into our current series, Strong for the Battle, Don, I must say, when you start to fully grasp all Scripture tells us about the unseen spiritual forces arrayed against us, it can be very unnerving and downright uncomfortable.
Well, you know, my friend, the fear that Bill is describing there is certainly understandable. We do face a mighty foe and an unseen spiritual foe at that. But the beauty of the gospel and the beauty of Christian salvation is this, is that Christ is greater than Satan, that Christ loves us, and he keeps us in his hand where no one can pluck us away. He has thoroughly equipped us for victory in the Christian life. We'll get the biblical perspective we need to help us as you stay with us today on the Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. And friends, with your Bible open to Ephesians 6, let's get started right now.
There's something that I want to do by way of a preliminary observation as we enter into this text here, because we're going to focus on verse 12 and focus on the nature of the evil forces that we struggle against in the Christian life. So I want you to notice something very important that will shape and frame the entire way that you think about these things going forward. While Paul lays out for us the reality of the spiritual nature of our battle, he does so in a way that calls our attention to focus on the resources that we have in Christ rather than drifting into a preoccupation with the demonic. He says in verse 11, put on the full armor of God. And like radar, like a laser beam, he says, focus on the armor of God. And then he leads us into this verse 12. And then on the way out of that, he says, and he reminds us again, take up the full armor of God. The focus that you are to have when you consider the reality of demonic forces in the world and in your Christian life is to be on the resources that you have on Christ and to be preoccupied with Christ, with His resurrection, with His power, with His Word, with the indwelling Spirit. The reality of the dark side of the spiritual realm is there, it is presented, but it is not that which is to preoccupy us in the Christian life. And that's a very important corrective to the things that other people and other teachers get you into. Just so critical for you, though, to realize that Paul's overall emphasis here is on the armor of God given to Christians, and that is to be that which we are preoccupied. But in the middle of it, he gives us this statement in verse 12. Paul says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Here's the thing, brother and sister in Christ. You live for Christ in this world, in the midst of supernatural hostility. There are powerful demonic forces arrayed against the successful execution of your spiritual life. And Scripture teaches us this. Here's the thing, knowing a little bit about where some of you come from, bad teaching and so-called Christian novels have distorted the nature of the spiritual battle. They have distorted our understanding of the demonic hostility that is against us in the Christian life. For years, Christians were caught up in best-selling fiction, fiction being the operative word, about unseen spiritual battles that were being played out, and people's minds were captivated by these novels that portrayed things in such graphic ways. In ways that seem more exciting than the Bible itself. Well, as soon as you start thinking like that, you know you're off track. Other people bind Satan as if magic words could restrict the activity of a supernatural enemy. I remember as a very young Christian being with an older woman. We were in a prayer time together, and I had never been exposed to this, but she took off on a riff about binding Satan, and I bind you in the name of Jesus, and all kinds of silly things like that, and making a spectacle of herself. Really sad in retrospect, looking back on it. Beloved, when we think about the nature of spiritual life, when we think about the nature of the demonic forces arrayed against us, we need to stick ever so close to Scripture for our guidance in how to think about them, and our guidance for understanding how we successfully live through the battle and triumph in the battle. Look, the very nature of Satan is that he is a liar and a murderer. The demons that are arrayed under his power are deceptive demons. They are instruments of lies and deception. The Scripture says that Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light, that he comes as a roaring lion, that these demonic forces are bent on your destruction and your deception. And so in that realm, it is so incredibly vital that we stick strictly to what Scripture says and not stray beyond it. Not stray into speculation. Not stray into other things, but to rely ever so closely on what Scripture says and not go beyond what Scripture says for our understanding of what this battle is like. Not only are the Christian novels misleading, not only is the call to have Christians go out and bind Satan, even though Michael the Archangel was unwilling to do so, to speak directly to him, those things are not only wrong and inaccurate, beloved, here's the thing. They distract you from the true nature of the battle. They distract you from understanding what's really at stake, what's really going on. And we're trusting God's Word to open our understanding as we turn to Scripture, because only Scripture can tell us the truth. Only Scripture can guide us in this area, which is unseen, which is evil, which is destined to deceive us if we stray from Scripture at all. And so what we're going to do as we look at verse 12 today is we're going to see three truths to guide you and to direct you and to help you win the fight of the battle, of the struggle that is described here. And we're going to see later on how immensely practical this is. And rather than the spiritual battle being something remote and distant and that is out there, you're going to find that the battle is something that is close and immediate and is expressed in your immediate spiritual life in a way that's going to make perfect sense to you, rather than being captivated with cleverly designed tales. You're going to see that what Paul is saying here is actually some of the most practical instruction on resisting demonic forces in your life that you could ever imagine. What are we going to see here today? Three things. First of all, I want you to write these things down. I'm about to describe your life in a way that you will immediately relate to, and then you will be able to connect from that which you understand from experience and Scripture and connect it to see how it connects to this unseen dark world that Paul describes here. Point number one, you fight a spiritual battle. You fight a spiritual battle. And it's right at this very point where we see that moralistic teaching that appeals to the will of man falls so utterly short. There is a spiritual dimension to the Christian life that you are trying to live. And it's not simply a matter of more willpower or greater rules to be followed and obeyed. Here's the thing for you, beloved. For you and me both, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. You and I are trying to live the Christian life while simultaneously there is a spiritual unseen realm that is populated with wicked forces that actively oppose Christ and Christians who live for Him. This is the clear teaching of Scripture. 1 Peter 5:8 says the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 2 Corinthians 11 says that Satan loves to disguise himself as an angel of light in order to perpetrate his deception. And Paul lays this out so clearly. Look at verse 11, which I read earlier. He said, "Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Well, notice something. First of all, apparently, this spiritual being called the devil, also known as Satan, stands over a realm. He has a realm, and he has schemes. He has methods that are directed against you, that are directed to deceive you, to discourage you, to cause you to stumble and fail and to destroy your Christian testimony. As you kind of read verse 11 backwards, the devil has schemes against you, and therefore that is why it is so vital for you to take on the full armor of God so that you are able to resist them, so that you are not harmed by them as you go forward. Paul attributes the schemes to one being, the devil, and yet as he goes on in verse 12, It's like Satan is a mafia boss in the sense that he has a hierarchy under him that extends his evil influence. Important to remember that Satan is not at all like God. Satan is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. He is not omnipotent. He is limited. He is localized in his ability. In the book of Job, He said, God asked him, "Where have you been?" He said, "I've been roaming about on the earth." Well, why is he roaming about? Because he's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere present. And so when we talk about Satan, we're not talking about someone who is a parallel being with God of equal attributes just on the bad side of things. We're talking about a limited but a powerful being. And he extends his influence through a scheme of evil beings that are under his influence and control and direction. Look at verse 12. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, it's hard for me not to speak week by week and think about the other stuff and the seeker-friendly philosophies that are out there, the entertainment mode of Christianity that we've addressed from time to time. If that was the perspective from which you understood Christianity, if that's the perspective that you came at it from, that this is kind of light, it's fluffy, it's entertainment, aren't the fog machines and the lights cool today? And it's just something appealing to your physical senses, you would never suspect that there are lethal, wicked, unseen forces at work that need to be dealt with seriously, would you? If you just took it by the way that that Christianity is presented in these pseudo churches, pseudo being a word for false, you would never suspect that there are lethal forces arrayed against you that put you in imminent mortal danger. That's why we have to go through Scripture verse by verse. This is so important. And here's the thing, and if you were coming out of that environment and you just kind of stumbled into our service today or stumbled across the live stream and started hearing things about a wicked spiritual realm, you might wonder, where is this coming from? This is so different from anything that I've heard. And you just kind of turn away saying, this is new, it's something I haven't heard before, and therefore I'm just going to turn away from it. Well, that would be a serious mistake. That would be a denial of Scripture. And here's the thing, as we think about the book of Ephesians, beloved, so that you understand and appreciate the fact that we're not entering into something today that's brand new and sudden and unexpected in Paul's teaching in this epistle. Paul has been talking this way throughout the letter. This is not the first time that he's spoken this way. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see that in addition to other places where Scripture addresses the reality of Satan, James chapter 4, verse 7, for example, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Scripture repeatedly testifies to this unseen realm. And in verse 20, Paul is talking about the resurrection of Christ. And he says that God brought about in Christ, He raised Him from the dead, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Christ is exalted in the resurrection, exalted in His ascension over an entire spiritual realm that is opposed to Him. Now, in chapter 2, verse 2, He goes on and He is addressing what your former way of life was as a Christian. You know, here's the thing. It's not just that you had done a couple of bad things and therefore, you know, you were guilty. That's true, and in fact, you've done a lot of bad things, every one of you. That's why we said last week, you're not a good person in and of yourself at all. But Scripture describes us as those who were under the domination of Satan, that we were under the lordship of a dark, wicked being. And He defined the course of our lives. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, turn over there for just a moment. Because we just need to, not be so materialistic in our thinking that it leads us to a denial of the biblical nature of reality. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. And these two verses that I'm about to read are a present description of those of you who are here that are still not Christians. This is what reality is like for you. This is a description of the realm in which you exist and who it is that is your true master. You see, you're not a Christian and you think you're independent. You think you're your own man. Well, you're not. You're a slave and a captive to a wicked force. Look at chapter 2, verse 25 of 2 Timothy. Actually, go to verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. Those of you that oppose the gospel, as you're hearing maybe online or in subsequent media, you're opposed to the gospel. You have not received Christ. You are resistant or at least indifferent to the demands of the gospel on your soul. And you're opposed to it. You stand against it. And Paul tells the man of God, Timothy, says, you need to be gentle as you correct them. Perhaps God will grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. And now we come to where you stand as an unbeliever if you're here today and you have not repented and put your faith in Christ. Here's a description of you. This is the only description of you that matters, no matter what kind of occupation or education you have or are pursuing. This is a description of your reality. Paul says, perhaps they'll come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. You're in a snare. You're caught in a trap that you cannot get out of. The devil exercises dominion over you and holds you captive. Elsewhere, Scripture says, blind your mind to the truths unless you would believe and come to Christ. That's the nature of spiritual reality for those of you that aren't in Christ. It's pretty desperate, isn't it? The whole point of being a captive is that you don't have the power to escape. You're helpless, hopeless, and bound, even as you're proclaiming your own freedom and independence from the God of the Bible. Wow. Well, that's what Paul is describing in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Go back to that. Different kinds of metaphors used. Held captive, dead in trespasses and sins, even as you were walking about as a dead man in the course of the world, bound by the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Paul also addresses this dark spiritual realm, alludes to the reality of a personal devil in chapter 4, verse 20. Let's look at verse 26, because now he's addressing Christians. Chapter 4, verse 26, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Do not, by allowing your temper to flare and get out of control, by letting yourself be carried away by your anger, in whatever the manifestation of that would be, Paul says, be warned, because when that spirit of temper starts to carry you away, you're entering into a realm where the devil has opportunity to do mischief and harm to you. And so Paul, as he's writing this, here's the bigger point that I want you to see. All of Scripture, you know, I mean, Genesis chapter 3, the serpent came, the devil deceived Eve as in the form of a serpent. You know, it's just woven throughout. And what we want to see here is that this realm that Scripture describes is real, and it's something that we are to consider in accordance with the truth. And now Paul comes, go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12, we've kind of circled all the way around and kind of we can come in for our landing now. What does all of this say about the Christian life? What does this say to you as you live life as a man, as a woman, as a spouse, as a parent in the workplace? What does this say to you? What does this mean for your life? Well, here's the thing. Scripture is calling you to recognize that there is spiritual opposition to you that you cannot see. That your Christian life, there are going to be times of conflict that are manifested in that. And where does that opposition come from? It's not simply circumstantial. It's not simply because you're having a bad day. Paul here is describing the Christian life in terms that expose us, that open our minds, that help us understand that we are dealing with a battle against foes, against opposition. And what does this say about the Christian life? Well, first of all, remember we're in a point that's saying you fight a spiritual battle. Your foes are spiritual in nature. Your foes are spiritual in nature. Look at what Paul says there in verse 12. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, it's not merely a human realm in which we are engaged in the Christian life. We cannot perceive these spiritual enemies with our physical senses. But according to Scripture, which is what we trust to define reality for us, they are real. You say, well, yeah, but if I can't see him, if I can't hear him, if I can't touch him, can't smell them, then in what sense is this any kind of reality? Well, you don't want to go there. You don't want to think in such a defective, obviously wrong way, do you? You don't want to think like that. You can't see gravity. And yet gravity surely affects your existence every moment of your existence on life. Every moment that you walk is affected by the natural force of gravity holding you down on the earth. And you wouldn't be so foolish as to say, well, I can't see gravity and therefore it doesn't exist. Of course it exists. Come stand in front of us and try to jump up and touch the ceiling. We'll watch as you deny gravity. That's not going to work. You know that that's not reality, that there is an unseen force that affects your physical existence here on earth. The fact that you can't see it doesn't mean that it's not real. Now, When we go from that familiar thing into the less familiar realm of the spiritual, we understand that Paul is saying that there is an unseen realm that is affecting your Christian life. It goes beyond human existence. It goes beyond human resistance. You need to be aware of what it is that you are dealing with. There's a spiritual foe that is involved here.
We'll pause there for today, but Pastor Don Green will have part two of his message, The Nature of the Battle, next time on the Truth Pulpit, as he continues our series, Strong for the Battle. Join us and be encouraged that he who is in you is indeed stronger than he who is in the world. Right now, Don's back here in studio with a special invitation.
Well, friend, if you are anywhere near the Cincinnati area and you don't have a good church home, I invite you to visit us at Truth Community Church. I'm in the pulpit almost every Sunday, and we have a loving congregation that would simply be thrilled to meet you and welcome you to our body. We are striving to manifest the principles that you heard taught today. Why not come and see us? Bill will help you find us on our website.
For directions and service times, just visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can also find out how to get free CDs of Don's teaching. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright. We'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit with Don Green.